Okie dokie.
That's easy for you to say.
We got Anroo.
Mitch
is Lyle.
Hey, Lyle. Mitch, I heard a Mitch.
Patty.
Pate, how are you?
Ron, how come the start time, stop time, SCR always has my name after it?
Shouldn't it?
No.
Whose name should it have?
Patty. Wait a minute.
Hey, Dick.
Good morning.
Hey.
It proposed that the start time accuracy should be increased.
Oh, I don't know.
Came out of GEO for start time accuracy, I think.
We've got Carol Neese and Rose Early from PSI.
Oh, good. I have to put you guys on mute for a couple minutes because I have to start the dishwasher, and it's very noisy, and I figured you'd want to talk.
Who else? Rose Early and who?
Carol Neese.
Carol Neese. Hey. Gotcha. Okay. So, and you don't really care at this point that I change it, right? Betty?
Hello, Ron.
Okay. Didn't Anne, you go away?
She muted because she was starting the dishwasher.
Uh-huh.
When she gets away from the machine, I'm sure she'll be back.
Cool. Well, let's see. We're okay. I've got nobody from GEO yet. No. So we have Lyle, Patty, Mitch, Ann, Carol, Rose, Dick, Ron, Betty. Anybody I miss?
Oh, I'm back now. By the way, yeah, I don't know why my name was on it to begin with.
Well, you don't actually care that I change it now, right?
Absolutely. Well, I care that you do change it.
Oh, you do care.
I insist firmly that you change it immediately, right now, retrospectively, everywhere.
Okay, we'll call back in about 8 minutes. 11:04, version one. So you want whose name goes on it?
I don't know. Presumably, it should have the name on it of somebody who's actually in favor of it.
Yeah, I think it's
Susie, wouldn't it?
That would be my suggestion. If you're going to pick a name at random,
Ron, I think it should have Susie's name on it.
Okay. Susie's not here to defend herself, so that works for me.
Works for me.
Okay. I can do that. For posterity purposes, I assume. I'm not sure. Okay, first thing on the agenda. Report the node votes. Pass. Just everybody from GEO?
Just Keith Bennett and Susie Slavny.
Keith and Susie.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Thanks. Okay, Susie, we just changed the name on SCR 1103 to be your name. Oh, 1104. Check that.
Which one is that?
The start time and stop time keywords.
Why did you do that?
Because Ann, jump in.
Because I didn't submit it, and I'm not actually in favor of it.
I didn't submit it, did I?
I don't know who did.
I don't think it was me.
Actually, I thought it was.
Did? Well, what do I need to do?
Well, who is coordinating for MRO CRISM? It was that requested it, isn't it?
Well, I am coordinating for MRO CRISM. I'll take it if somebody else doesn't claim it.
I've got a copy that's got Ron Joyner's name on it.
I think it just sort of came up in the discussion, and maybe Ron just submitted it as a placeholder, but I will take it.
Okay. So
what do I need to do? What is the status of it now?
Well, it's passed, so I think all I'll do is update a version and repost it for posterity to the web. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay. Okay, so back to the that closes that out, right? Everybody happy?
No, wasn't that the one that had some email traffic on it?
Oh, well, that's the next thing that I wanted to go through is each one of these, because there was traffic on some of them. So let's start with 1103, which was the date time format.
Huh?
Where are my notes? I nicely printed out everything. And now I'm disorganized. Okay, let's start with 1103. Did anybody have any issues on 1103?
I'm sorry, I'm at home.
Oh. 1103 is the date-time format.
I think Dick was right, is that being a chapter of the standards, it has to go to management council for a final vote.
Okay.
Is this the increasing the precision SCR or the chapter 7?
Chapter 7, date-time format.
Okay.
So you want to do a vote, or just everybody's, anybody disagree that it shouldn't go to management council?
Try that again.
Okay, let's. Somebody's got a lot of static or something.
That's me. I was out walking by the pond, but I'm come back in now.
Gotcha. Okay, so the on the table is send SCR 31103, which is the Chapter 7 rewrite, to Management Council for a vote. Anybody disagree with doing that? Okay, so it's going to Management Council for a vote. But here's issue number two. Right now, the FCR is simply a rewrite of Chapter 7, which I was happy to accept to give it to Elizabeth just to make all those changes, but if we send it to MC, doesn't it need an FCR wrapper?
What do you mean by that?
Well, objective, impact, all that kind of stuff.
But that is what's in an FCR.
The SCR that we approved is simply a rewrite of Chapter 7. There's nothing surrounding it.
Well, then I guess you need to write one.
Is that true? Is that really all there is in that SCR?
What I've been posting for a vote is simply a document that has Chapter 7 in it. There's nothing surrounding it.
Okay.
And I didn't have any concerns about that if, in fact...
Well, the reason we started messing around with it now, remind me if I'm incorrect about this, was because it looked like a previously approved SCR to remove Z as being UTC and to clear up the UTC format versus UTC time standard issue had never been completed.
Right.
Okay, so... Do we need to send them Chapter 7 because the Management Council has never decided that that needed to be done? Or do we just need to send them a review copy of Chapter 7 so that they know it exists and they get a chance to look at it before we put it up as the official version?
Well, a lot has changed in addition to clearing up that Z question.
Well, already then.
If we put a wrapper on it, it gives them something they're familiar with to look at to see what's happened.
Okay, is there someone who feels like they can list the various things that have been done to it? I mean, I know what I'd...
I thought I heard Ron say, should I put a wrapper around this?
No, that's not what Ron said, but thank you for playing. I'm suggesting that a wrapper be put around it. It doesn't have to if everybody says just send the thing as is to Management Council. Like a little bunny, I will do that.
Just send the thing to Management Council.
As is. Gotcha.
That's mine.
I think we ought to try to put in a summary of changes. Sorry.
Well, it's not that long a chapter. They can read both versions.
Okay.
I'll include the...
I think in the future we should do it with the wrapper, but I don't have the time to invest in a wrapper myself right now.
Neither do I.
I don't actually even know what that means or whether I would have the ability to do it.
Well, you know, the standard objective scope impact statement. I mean, I don't think it's going to be very long, but given some of the stuff going on, I don't want to put myself in a position to be... Never mind. So, no, I can send it as is. And we'll see what Rita... I'll give it to Rita and see what Rita has to say. Because ultimately, she sends it out for email vote, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, anything else on 1103?
I will when we get down to 1104.
Oh, okay. Moving to 1104. Mitch, you want to start?
Yeah. The problem I have with 1104, and I voted for it, but in fact, in the SCR, the impact assessment does not say and needs to say that Chapter 7 has to be changed. It talks about changing the data dictionary, but it doesn't talk about making a change to Chapter 7.
Are you still there?
I'm still here. And my point is, as soon as we approve 1104, the version of Chapter 7 in 1103 is out of date.
No, 1103 is still okay, but we now have conflicting standards.
Yeah. And if 1103 had passed a month ago, we'd have had that in the standards. 1104 would have come out and said that new Chapter 7 has to get changed to reflect the correct precision. And we'd have made a simple change to the revised Chapter 7. Because
well,
they're coming out.
And I don't know how many of you have actually read the email that I wrote about this. You can't just change the maximum length of start time because the maximum length in this case is defined by the data type of time that it's got. You need to change the maximum allowable length for a data type of type for an element of type time.
Yep.
And that requires changing a couple of sections that I itemized in some email earlier this week. In various different things, including Chapter 7, but also in other chapters of the standards reference.
And it is normal for us to send an SCR out that says, approving this SCR is going to require us to make some more changes to the standards. And people say, yes, do this SCR, and then we don't go back to them and say, okay, here's the revision to the standards that you told us to do. Do you approve it? Is that correct? I'm asking about a process. Forget about the fact that we've already rewritten Chapter 7. If 1104 was standalone, what we would submit to the Management Council would be, we're changing the position of the time keyword. That's going to affect the data dictionary and these three sections in the standards reference. The Management Council says yes to the SCR, and then somebody goes in, rewrites the standards reference in accordance with that SCR, and we don't have to talk to the Management Council again. Is that correct?
I would say yes, but I don't know what the current procedures are or what the Management Council thinks the procedures are. I would be okay with that procedure provided that the SCR doesn't say you have to change Section 5.1 whenever to reflect that, but if the SCR actually says Section 5.3 must be replaced with the following so that they see the changed text at the same time, they see the reason why you want to change it.
Another way of doing it is to list all the impacts and then start sort of with the highest level and then work backwards. So you'd say that Chapter 7 needs to be revised, so we put the start time SCR on hold until we've revised Chapter 7, and then all the dominoes sort of fall into place. If you change the data dictionary and leave a lien against the standards reference, I think you're going to have a house of cards that's going to fall down pretty quickly.
Well, we've already got one because we don't have versioning. I mean, ideally, if we had versioning of the standards, all these things would be queuing up so that they could be resolved before you release the next version of the standards. And then it would all be included in some minor version update.
Right.
But we don't have that, so I don't know what the preferred kludge is in this case.
I didn't really understand your point, Anne.
About standards versioning?
Yeah.
If you had standards versioning and said, for example, we're going to have a maintenance release of the standards documents every 6 months for whatever typos or whatever other minor problems we find, then you could argue that changing the length of the time data type, the maximum length of the time data type, is a minor standard because it's not going to affect anything that already exists. And you could argue that the rewrite of Chapter 7 to clarify things that were muddy before is a minor change. But instead of doing them as they get done, you would queue them up and say, okay, we're just going to prepare, make these various changes to the current Chapter 7. And then in June, when we are scheduled to have our minor standards update, they all take effect at the same time. And then that way you don't have to worry about what happens if you're modifying the chapter for one reason for this SCR, and you also want to modify it for another reason because of another SCR.
Well, right now, as far as I know, and I don't know the full story because Elizabeth is out, but there's two things sitting on my desk that need
actually we just changed one of them, right, the Chapter 7, that need to be incorporated into the next release of the standards, right? So the one was the one Management Council approved, and then this one that will now go to Management Council, and assuming they approve it, then there will be two SDRs sitting on Elizabeth's chair waiting for her to return.
Yeah, this was why I asked you that question, which I think I asked very badly in an odd way a couple weeks ago about, well, how does this actually get posted? What are the final steps before a new chapter is inserted, and how do you indicate that something in some part of the standards has been updated?
I assume Elizabeth is following sort of the same process everybody else used to, is you just sort of queue them up as a big pile until you're ready to release the standards. They all go in at the same time, and you update the section of the standards in the front saying, in this release, here are the changes that were made.
So in that case, do we even need to send Chapter 7 to the Management Council at all at this point? Or should we just wait until it's time to release a new version of the standards and then make note that there have been major changes to Chapter 7?
All right, whose clock is ticking? That's not helping.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's all right, it made us laugh.
Anne's in the kitchen, and those are cookies, and she's not sharing them when they come out, is she?
I mean, I have the microphone right facing the clock, and it didn't, because the speaker's on the back of the phone, and it didn't even occur to me that...
It's all right, it made it very dramatic.
You have to pass this in.
Possible, kind of, you know.
Or it explodes.
Well, I think it should go to Management Council, let them approve it, and then it just goes in the Elizabeth queue whenever she releases the next version. But if there is an impact, and there seems to be, against the increase in length and start time and stop time, maybe we want to put that on hold until we resolve 1104.
That is 1104, but I get the idea.
Yeah, and my sense was the start time actually was fairly urgent still.
I'm sorry, I lost the end of that.
My impression was that getting 1104 through was fairly urgent.
Yeah, I got that impression too.
Yeah, the first delivery from CRISM and other MRO instruments is June.
And their pipeline's already in place. Got to be.
Yeah, oh yeah. The idea of asking them to back off with those three digits, that's not going to happen.
Makes you wonder what value the standards have.
I think this was submitted a long time ago.
Yeah, but a submission is not the same as an
approval.
Right. It's one of the problems we continue to have that we're trying to get on top of is that we have to be able to respond. We have to give them an answer because people are taking no answer as tacit approval.
And this one did seem kind of, well, at least to my innocent eyes, I thought this was a no-brainer.
Yeah.
I see now that it's more complicated.
While it's more complicated, if they'd come to me instead, I'd have said, yeah, go forward and I'll make sure that we get the standards fixed.
Well, go ahead, Dick.
I'm not sure I'd agree with that.
No, but effectively what happens is they come to a node, and a node takes a quick look at it to say, yeah, okay, we'll try to get you an answer as quickly as we can, but at some point the mission's got to do the work.
Yeah, but the default should be to go with the old way.
Do you guys actually need me to say that I agree with that?
No, we all agree with that. The problem is that what really needs to happen is we need to get faster, and mostly we've been doing faster. We've let a couple slip through, but we've gotten much better at getting these things done.
We've let dozens slip through. Anyway, moving along.
This is an attractive side road, but let's not go down it. I think the good thing is that we are in agreement about what to do. We're just sort of in uncertainty about how to do it for these two SDRs.
Well, I'm not sure about the time data type, particularly if we try to fold in the international repercussions.
Well, if you extend the type of the data type, I think you minimize the repercussions from that actual change. Changing start and time and stop time is still another issue because there's still there's special keywords, but at least you'll be internally consistent in the logic that you're applying to data types and keywords.
I guess I don't understand how it affects the international community. If we extend the length, they don't necessarily have to use that extended length. Am I missing something?
Well, the problem is that the international community is trying to use the PDF standards as their standards for data interchange. And the problem is that that's rather like trying to build a large house on top of a sand dune, because the standards can change somewhat capriciously with either little warning or a very, very long lead time to the point where you think it's not going to happen. So if they write their validator, for example, the way I've written my validator, that says, general data type of time, that means you can't possibly have more than 27 characters, now we're putting in what we're calling a minor change that says, more than 27 characters now. It's arbitrary. It can be as many as you want or have whatever number we pick at this point. And they are now have to deal with the fact that there's software out there and a standard that they've accepted saying, okay, this number here that's required in all labels, you can rely on it. It's going to look like this. That's not true anymore. So it's possible that could have an effect. The additional political and diplomatic potential damage of making little changes like this in the standards every couple of months, I'm not really in a position to measure. But I'd worry about them. If I was in the Management Council, I'd worry about them.
Yeah, in principle, what will happen is the international standards are going to be built parallel, I think, to PDS-4. We get this change done now, put it in PDS-4. Maybe we inconvenience ESA, which may have to make some minor changes to validation software. But it isn't going to affect the community in Japan or India because they're just not that far along yet.
Yeah. Well, Rosetta took the right approach when they froze, and they just stopped accepting any additional changes. They said to use this version. Now, this has caused them problems as well, but it should be a reasonable thing to do.
And that's typically what missions do.
Mm-hmm.
Missions archive to whatever version exists at the time.
Well, if the standards were versioned as well, you could freeze for development purposes at 3.5, for example, and then when got some cruise time later on in the mission, you can upgrade to 3.7 or 3.9 all at once and do it in an orderly manner.
Yeah, and that may have, certainly we need to do a bit better job of versioning in any event. But I don't think that this time the international community is going to have a lot of problem accommodating this. It is something we want to be concerned about. What you don't want is that it automatically messes up their ability to access and use the data. And I don't think that that would. I mean, it may end up doing truncation where rounding might have been better. But I don't think that the international community will be a big issue on this one.
Yeah, no, the only place where it would be an issue would be Rosetta.
So back to Mitch's, I guess your comment, Mitch, was we should also update Section 7.1. So
in 1103, when we submit Chapter 7, we might as well, since we now have the approval to go to six digits, while we're changing Chapter 7 right now, we might as well make this additional change in Chapter 7 that has to happen.
Yes,
there are other sections of other documents that are affected as well.
Yes, I agree, but we have the Chapter 7. It's two separate issues. One is let's not put forward Chapter 7 where we know we've got another change to make. Let's go ahead and make this additional change.
Ah, okay.
The second one is for 1104, we have to figure out what else in the standards reference needs to be changed.
I did send out that list, didn't I?
Yes, I know you did.
Okay.
But it needs to be in the SCR, and it's not.
Well, yeah, no, I didn't write the SCR. Do you edit an SCR after it's been... No, it's only the blog, right? That's the only option?
No, actually. I think that we could put liens against an SCR. It was passed with liens. And the lien is that the SCR doesn't completely list all of the things that have to be changed. And we acknowledged that during the last discussion, that the full extent of the impact wasn't well analyzed in the current SCR, but we felt like there was nothing likely to show up that would be important enough to prevent the SCR from passing.
Yeah, I don't think there's any showstoppers.
No. So, but the SCR does need to have that treated as a lien. It's passable lien to import the...
another process that I don't know how to do with. Okay.
Now, I'm sorry, I was offline for a couple of minutes. Did we decide 1104 is or is not going to go to the Management Council for a vote?
I heard that it is, as is, no changes. But 11, then 11, you just...
Wait a minute, 1104 is the start time, stop time?
Oh, no, that's not going... Well, wait a minute. I shouldn't just say that. Should the thing go to Management Council or not?
Yes.
I don't know which is which. I have to go look.
Okay. Let's. Okay. 1104 is increased length of start time and stop time.
Which more correctly is increasing the time objects to allow start time and stop time to be extended.
I personally, I look at this as a data dictionary change, but let's do a vote.
On what?
Okay, the proposal is 1104, increased length of start time and stop time keywords. Should that go to Management Council for a vote? Ready? Atmospheres. Lyle?
Isn't that what we just voted on, though? Ron?
I thought we did 1103, Chapter 7, date-time format, goes to Management Council.
No, in our email votes, we've voted on 1104, and it should, therefore, go to Management Council.
It says it goes to implementation. There's been some emails flying around that, and maybe this is my confusion, but in the past, when Elizabeth has put these things out, there have been sort of two options, and the vote is it goes to implementation or it goes to Management Council. And maybe there's some confusion there.
Yeah, it's not been clear to me what the difference was and who decides. I think the safer route is to send it to Management Council. If it is trivial, they'll pass it quickly.
The problem is that this SCR 1104, as written, introduces a logical inconsistency in the system.
In the where?
In the system, because it only says to increase the length of two keywords past the defined length for their general data type. So it introduces a violation of the standard into the data dictionary.
But so does 1064, and there's already numerous inconsistencies in probably both time, but for sure name keywords.
Well, the problem is that I haven't been able to find, and I haven't had a chance to look because I'm stuck at home and it takes forever to download these damn documents. I can't find a statement anywhere that says that the every element that has the same class word has to have identical attributes. Neither do I see any statement about any special treatment for an element whose name is the naked class word. But that may be because I haven't had a chance to look deep enough to find it yet. So if you know where it is, tell me, and I'll go look at it and see if I can make logical sense of it.
That was the reference that I sent out earlier in the week. So I think changing the class word attributes, that's a different SCR. We need to understand that those need to be done.
Is there a maximum length of the name class?
Can I finish, please? We have in the past already introduced inconsistencies into the data dictionary and therefore into the standards. With time, name, and probably various other class words. Words are one thing. They shouldn't have been the way we've done it. Now we're faced with changing time, stop time, path name. And we can go forward with those. We need to understand that we need to change the class words throughout.
But this is not a class word issue. This is a data type issue with start and stop time. Not all keywords with the word ending with the word time have a general data type of time.
Well, time is a class word.
Time is a class word, but that doesn't mean that every keyword that has a class word of time has a general data type of time. The problem is not with the class word time. The problem is with the general data type of time. Start time and stop time have a general data type of time. Native start time, as a counterexample, has a general data type of character.
Somebody going to say something?
She's right.
Which she?
Anne.
On the issue of class words in general?
Okay, it's not relevant to the start time, stop time thing, but on the issue of class words.
Okay, so okay, I'm at a loss as to where we are and
you were taking a vote on whether 1104 should go to Management Council.
And the problem is that we don't actually have clear guidelines within the PDS that talks about when something that the tech group wants to move forward with goes to Management Council and when the tech group agreement is sufficient to move it forward.
That's coming in the new standards process, but
yeah.
I think the default in the meantime is to at least offer it to the Management Council.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think this is a particularly awkward one because it does introduce a conflict.
Yeah.
I don't think we serve anybody by shuffling it off to implementation if we know that there's a problem built in.
I don't know if this would help, but I would happily vote yes to increase the length of the maximum allowed length for the general data type of time. I don't have a problem with that.
Yeah, but we don't have a, we actually need the SCR, don't we, in order to vote for that?
You need to need a new SCR or rewrite this SCR.
Which we've already passed. I mean, we all agree that we want to get this changed. We're finding out that the implementation is awkward.
No, I voted against. We didn't all approve it.
Oh, okay.
No, we didn't all approve it.
A lot of us approved it?
Probably a majority.
A majority.
Well, is it enough to just use Mitch's suggestion that we go back and we also change Section 7.1, or is there additional...
There are additional places affected in the standards document and in the Planetary Science Data Dictionary document.
What part of the PSDD?
I know, the PSDDD. The PDF form of the document that actually contains the definition of certain data types, including the data type of time.
Time. The value of the measure is the point of occurrences of an event expressed as a date and time in standard form. Here's an example. Where, and this is under the class word time, so how that's not affected. Where else might that be affected in the PSDD.
How do you figure it's not affected?
Well, it just said under class word, I'm finding time now. Non-decimal data time. Okay, let me read it again. Under class word time, time, a value that measures the point of occurrence of an expressed event as date and time in a standard form, and then there's an example. Because we're adding more precision doesn't affect the example. It doesn't.
I can't see the example, unfortunately.
Well, the example is 1987-06-21T17:30:30.00.
Yeah, no, it wouldn't affect that.
And I don't believe anywhere where we say keywords of class time have a maximum length of M. We don't even.
That's up in at least one of those other sections that I listed.
Do you remember what date your email was, Anne?
No, I don't. And in order to go and look at it, I would have to bring off of this telecon,
no.
dial up, and have a look.
I think it's the 19th. January.
Oh, January.
January, that's impossible, I think.
You sent an email, time standards SCR, on the 19th of January.
Ammunition and clarification needed?
That's way too long ago.
Time standards SCR was the title subject.
That's way too long ago for what I'm thinking of.
Ron,
it would have been last week in the vote that I sent.
Yeah, last week. That's
yeah. And try looking in the actual text for the vote on SCR 1104.
Ron, in the data dictionary, if you go to 2.2.2, I think it says they need to be consistent.
In the standard reference or the actual data dictionary? The
actual data dictionary.
2.2.2? Oh, 2.2.2, classwords. Oh, well, no, I'm not objecting. In fact, I'm absolutely in agreement with classwords of all types should have a standard set of attributes. And when I first came on to PDS, remember Gail Woodward, the real keeper of all the thou shalt do's? That was one of the very first things she said. A class word has a common set of attributes. Every keyword should share those attributes universally. Well, we have so blown that out of the water over the years. We have names that are 120 key length characters, all over the board. The IDs are all over the board. The only exception had been data set ID. It was this anomalous thing. But, I mean, we have so gotten away from that. So I don't even know how you bridge that back to where it was. Probably you can't.
So
I think we can't. But the point I just wanted to point out there was this information type includes both the data type and size.
No, I agree. But I think Ann's statement was that this it has greater effects even down to the PSDD, and I'm not seeing. I don't even know, and I know in the data dictionary, the real data dictionary, not the PSDD, we don't store those attributes by class. They just sort of get migrated down to each individual element.
Okay.
Ann's email was dated March 5th, and it's entitled SCR 3-1104. She thinks that section 2.3.5, time data type, in the data dictionary needs to be changed. Also, the standards reference 5.4, 7.1, and 12.7.3.
Did that go to the tech session?
Yeah, to the tech group on the 5th. It was her vote.
Her vote.
The note is in her vote on 1104.
Gotcha. That's why I can't find it. Aha. Okay, additional notes. Gotcha. Section 5.4 of the PDS standards defines the maximum accuracy of values of type time as milliseconds. Ah. Two, three, five. Time data type. Oh, I see. So the .fff stuff.
Yeah, especially if you have it set up as an optional array, then we just need to use the same notation to indicate arbitrary precision for whatever limit you want to set, if you want to set a limit.
Okay. How about we take 1104 and we rewrite it yet again and include these dependencies that Anne has pointed out and then bring it back for another vote?
Sounds good to me.
It's already been approved.
Well, so what? We negate that. We just pretend it didn't happen or something. I don't know. You know what? But I think these are good points.
Send it to management council.
I'm sorry?
You hadn't sent it to management council yet anyway, so.
Well, you know that this issue is going to come up and they're going to turn it down, so what a waste of time that would be. Why don't we just address the failings now and make the thing the way it should have been in the first place?
But before we do that, anybody else find any other dependencies that Anne hasn't pointed out so we might catch them all at the same time? I'm hearing no. So let's do, anybody disagree with not having Anne go back and redo the SCR 1104 to include her points?
Well, I'm glad that you said Anne. Susie, because at the beginning of this meeting, I dial in and find that I've been assigned to this.
Oh, that's right.
And I thought to myself, oh, dear. And then you said, but it's okay. It's already voted on. So I thought, oh, okay. And now I would like to withdraw my consent because...
Could you?
Fair enough.
But if Anne's going to do it, yeah, I guess that's okay. Because that way she'll get it the way she wants it. So
just want to make sure that there is some at least 5-minute period in which my name is off the record before it goes back on the record, okay?
So
I mean, I don't like the precedent of saying, oh, we voted, but what the hell?
Yeah, that's not very encouraging either, and I feel very odd saying that.
Well, what do you guys want to do? You know?
I think we want to go along with what you said, Ron, but the fact that we're uncomfortable with it is a good thing.
How about we move to reconsider?
Okay.
Ah, there's a parliamentarian.
Second.
I'm in favor of that.
All opposed?
Ron could call for a vote now.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. I was just Ron would call for a vote by saying all opposed to reconsidering. Considering. Ron?
Yeah.
Ron's head has exploded.
Trust me. I am at a loss here.
No. What you do is you say, we have had a motion and second to reconsider the vote on 1104. All in favor, or more easily, all opposed.
Okay. Got it. Whatever he said, all opposed. None.
Okay. So we've pulled 1104 because we've agreed that we want to reconsider it.
Great. Okay.
I will happily undertake the rewrite.
Will the rewrite be not just to increase the start length, it'll be to change the general data type equals time and the start time, stop time keywords?
If that's what you want it to say, then yes, that's what it will be. And I have one question then about about a detail.
Yes.
The question is, now the draft standard that I have of the ISO 8601 reference standard that we're using, I don't have the final standard, I only have a draft, allows arbitrary precision. How much precision, do you want to limit the precision in this field?
Let's not.
For the data type?
Talk about it again.
Okay, for the data type, there's no defined precision, arbitrary precision in the seconds field. That's fine. But do you want to keep a maximum length for start and stop time?
I don't really see any advantage to defining a length. I mean,
well, it makes it a little easier to write programs, but the line has to end eventually anyway. So
that's what I mean. You just have to update.
How about no more than 200 characters?
Wow.
I'm having a hard enough time explaining to the ESA people why it is you would allow a product ID which is longer than the recommended length for a record label. I think
them
we're a melting pot.
What is the recommended length for a record label?
80 bytes. 72, depending on which section of the standard you read and what version. Okay, so I will rewrite this to include the changes for the general data type of time to recommend arbitrary precision be allowed in the data type of time. And do you want to eliminate the maximum length attribute from start time and stop time?
Well, there actually has to be one in the data dictionary. So you can make it a huge number, but there has to be a length in the data dictionary.
Okay, got a favorite number?
I actually like the number we came up with, but...
Well, it's not difficult to imagine that that number might be exceeded within the next 10 years.
How about 80?
80 we could do, 50 we could do, because that'll probably fit on a line, regardless of where you put the keyword.
50, then, fine.
Yeah.
All righty. Do you want me to include in the SCR that all keywords that currently have a general data type of time have their maximum length extended to 50 regardless of what it is now? Nearly all of them are 24 or 25.
then we'll have to change each one of those in the data dictionary individually.
That's true, yes. Mm-hmm. I can generate a list of those keywords.
Anybody object to that approach? Go with it unless you stumble across something that we're really looking for.
I'll set it out as bullet items, so if you decide you want a line item veto, it's easy enough to cross one out.
Yeah.
All righty. Is it okay if I start with the version of the SCR that is posted now?
As far as I know, that's the most current, right, Ron?
Yep.
Beauty. Okie doke.
Okay. Does this close off 11:04 so we can...
No, it doesn't close it. It just puts it back on the discussion table. You have a working group on this.
That's not what I didn't. I meant a closing for this discussion, so we can move back to 11:03.
I think so.
Okay, cool. Okay, 11:03. Do we want? What do we want to do at 11:03?
Send it to the Management Council. Include a note that there will probably be some additional minor changes when the next SCR on time comes through. This one's ready to go. The basic idea, any other changes are going to be editorial changes. They don't even need to know about it. Right? When 11:04 finally gets written and goes to the Management Council, it's going to say we're going to update these sections. The fact that they just approved a Chapter 7 doesn't matter.
When does the Management Council meet next?
They meet at the end of March in D.C., but this will go as an electronic vote, not as...
Oh, it'll go as electronic, okay.
Maybe not with LPSC coming up.
Do we need a sort of cover letter to go with Chapter 7 for the Management Council? Something that says this is the sort of changes that have been implemented and you should be aware that the following change is also being considered for implementation within the next month?
I wonder whether it might be better just to put this one on hold.
And it collectively?
Yeah. I mean, why give them two versions of Chapter 7 within a couple of months? The stuff that we've changed already, I don't think is critical.
Yeah, I could agree with that.
Okay. Are there other changes other than changing 7.1 that we want to make to Chapter 7?
It's always a dangerous question to ask.
I put some comments on the blog. Ann might look at those. I don't remember right now what they were.
I'll make myself a note to check the blog on Chapter 7.
One of the problems we're having here is it's a chicken and egg game. Hi, Boris. If
Hi.
You give them the new 11:04 that Ann is going to write, which extends the precision, and we give them a Chapter 7 11:03 SCR that incorporates that, that de facto assumes they're going to pass the first one. So we almost need to give them, if we're handing them both of these at the same time, we have to give them two versions of Chapter 7, one assuming they're going to pass 11:04 and one assuming they don't.
Hmm.
On the other hand, if we give them 11:03 now and they say yes, and then a week or two later, we give them 11:04, which lists a minor change to 7.1. I think that's insignificant in terms of the Management Council keeping track of things.
Right. In addition to the other things related to 11:04, there won't just be a section from Chapter 7. There'll be a couple of sections from elsewhere in the standards documents as well.
Right, like 5.4, plus the
right.
data dictionary changes.
Yeah, so we can... lay that out as part of the package for that SCR, and hope, by that time they may have forgotten about the first one.
Yeah, well, I'm inclined to go ahead and give them the revised 7.1 in with the three-digit precision for now, and that's one vote.
Okay.
So you like this, that cleans up those problems, and then we come in a couple weeks later and say, okay, we've got another SCR that we passed, and it will change several sections. The fact that one of them happens to be 7 probably won't register with most of them.
And I'll go look at the blog comments anyway, Dick, and see if there's something I should do about them one way or the other.
They weren't big deals, but I think there were 4 of them.
We really need to get the standards process cleaned up, don't we?
Yep.
You're in the working group.
Yeah, I haven't seen
Did you get my draft?
No.
I sent it last week. I'll try again. Anne got it.
I did.
Hang on. I was actually going to ask you if there was a draft coming.
Yeah, probably one out Wednesday or Thursday.
Better check your spam folder, Mitch.
Can I join?
I check my spam stuff.
Yeah, yeah. Can I join the working group? I want to play, too.
Okay. Rita wanted to be in, too, but I told her she didn't want to be in at this level.
Yeah, Dick, resend it to me, would you please?
Okay.
Okay. So, as usual, I'm always confused. Back to 1103. Let's do a vote as to whether or not, as 1103, which is Chapter 7, daytime format, should go to Management Council. So, once again, what we're voting on is sending Chapter 3, SCR 3, 1103, Chapter 7, directly as is to Management Council. Anybody opposed to doing that? Wow. Okay. So that means everybody is saying send the thing as is to Management Council for a vote. Done. Who's going to, and Ann, you're going to take on a rewrite, which would be version 5. Did I hear that right?
No, I thought, well, yes, I will rewrite 1104.
It'll be version 2.
Let's make it an, either tag it on to 1104 or make it a new SCR.
Which do you prefer, Ron?
That's a good question.
You could mark 1104 as withdrawn in favor of something else, and I can submit a new one from the beginning, or I can edit what I've got, which only looks like version 1 anyway. It's the only version information in there.
Yeah, I think this is a consequence of 1104, so it all becomes one package, and you don't have to vote twice.
Okay, so we're going to roll in the Chapter 7 stuff into 1104 version 2.
Because it's a consequence of the original proposal.
Okay. Does that work for everybody? Works for me.
I'm confused now.
May I try?
No. Let me ask Dick a question.
Okay.
I thought we just said that we were going to send Chapter 7, a rewrite of Chapter 7 that we currently have to the Management Council.
Correct.
Okay. So that's 1103 and it's done.
Right.
Anne is going to produce an SCR that either is a new version or a replacement for 1104.
Correct.
And that new SCR will affect the general data type time and the precision of the various time keywords.
Correct. And it presumes, well, it presumes that the version of Chapter 7 that we're sending to MC has been approved, but
yes.
That's
and
not.
It'll provide an update to that.
Yeah. But whether or not Management Council approves Chapter 7, I don't think is actually relevant.
Well, I think the change that the new 1104 will require to Chapter 7 would happen in either version.
Correct.
So that won't be a problem. We're not a major one. All right. I'm happy with this process. I understand where Dick and I think we've gone.
Well, let me ask a question, Dick. If this goes to Management Council, are you going to vote in favor or not?
Don't use the word it.
If
which, Chapter 7?
Chapter 7, the rewrite, Chapter 7, goes to Management Council. Are you going to vote in favor or not? Because are we wasting our time sending it to them?
I would have to go back and review what I put in the blog, but I'm not opposed to what we're doing. My objection originally was that they would get a little confused with two versions of Chapter 7 coming one right after the other.
I'm reading the blog, and you've got questions about Section 731, 732. I mean, it's fairly, it's not just like one sentence here saying.
Yeah. No, I voted against it originally.
Yeah. Okay.
I just don't remember what I wrote. I suppose you could erase my comments from the blog, and I would be totally powerless to object.
Actually, it's funny because somebody's attacking the blog every morning, and so every morning I log in and erase all the porn that's on here. So, after reading it, of course. It's sort of not good. Okay, so...
validated, after all.
Yeah. So, we have a plan for 1103 and 1104?
Yes, okay. I believe we do, and I believe I know what it is.
Cool. Please explain it after the telecon to me. Okay. Are we moving on to 1064, length of path name?
Sure.
Okay. Okay, now, there, Patty, this one was your reply to Anne's reply, right? Do we need to rehash, let me start with, do we need to hash 1064, which is increased length of path name?
Did it pass?
It passed.
Did anybody complain in their votes about how many no's were there?
Let me...
Well, before you do that, I have a general question, and that is if we continue to make these things longer and longer, some of our files and labels are going to become very difficult to read.
Well, this is a maximum possible length, but that doesn't mean...
I agree, but you've now got a field in some file that's over 200 characters long. It doesn't fit on my screen. And that's just one field.
This is just to agree with what the maximum possible that the standards allow, right?
I agree, but we don't always have to approach it that way.
Unfortunately, depending on how things go with online storage and archives on DVDs, it is actually possible to generate some fairly long path names to resolve some pretty important things.
Yeah, but I'm saying that the readability is an issue, at least for me.
Yeah, sure. Sucks for me too, but...
And by the way, the maximum we have for this one is actually not the theoretical maximum if you use that algorithm, because you can't have the theoretical maximum based on the ISO standard.
And the theoretical maximum based on the ISO standard is 253? Yeah, because the standard requires that you have at least one byte for either the file name or the extension. Because you don't have to have a separator if you don't have an extension.
Right, but we could arbitrarily say that the maximum is 80 or something like that.
Yeah, which is pretty much what we did before. The goal here was to give a maximum that would allow the maximum possible file name at the end and still meet the ISO requirements. And that was rehabbing it from the previous suggestion that it be 287 characters, which would clearly violate the ISO standard, so you would have no chance of having that path be compliant. But I guess I don't have a lot of personal investment in this. I was happy to edit it because I have a copy of the ISO standard on my desk. But apart from that, I'm not sure how it's practically used. I haven't actually used it myself for anything yet. So if you don't like it, I'm not personally offended.
I'll throw one in here. We just recently had a peer review for some revised Voyager data that we did at the Rings node, and about 3/4 of the review panel commented on the fact that now that we have a capability for systems to handle longer directory names, they'd really like to see us using useful directory names rather than such terse abbreviations that only the initiated have a clue what's going on. So there seemed to be less concern about the fact that the path would be too long to read in a single screen than to make sure that they knew what they were looking at when they looked at the path name, at the directory name. So I think having this get longer is a good thing. I don't know that it has to go all the way out to 250, but that's what happens when you try to make, if you use the full depth of the tree. And maybe what we ought to do is start talking about whether or not we want to reduce the number of levels in a tree. I don't know.
That's the trades one sort of readability for another, which is a reasonable thing to do.
Yeah, well, my text editor will take a 250 character string, and I can scroll across to read it. Mm-hmm. But it's a nuisance when you're browsing.
It is. A path name like that typically is going to be used by a program reading the label anyway, I would think.
Yeah, or hopefully you have some sort of directory browser that offers you a tree window so that you can just click down through the tree.
Yeah.
Oh, but we already voted for this one, right? We made this, we said yes on this?
Everybody voted yes on this.
So why are we arguing about it now?
Just the general philosophy of shall we say, infinitely long values for keywords.
Everybody voted yes? That can't be right.
Yeah, philosophically, I think there are several issues that we'll want to address when we go to rewriting PDS-4.
Yeah, I'm kind of hoping that, and I can't afford a copy of the UDF standard, which comes in something like 30 million parts at several hundred dollars a piece. I was kind of hoping that in 5 years or so, we would be able to drop the ISO 9660 constraint and go to whatever the UDF constraints are. And I'm guessing that the UDF constraints are a lot looser and would be a lot more convenient for people who are, for the most part, keeping their data on hard disks and archives like that. But I have no idea what the state of the art is in that respect and how far PDS might be away. Without the DDL, I don't know when anybody would tap us on the shoulder and say, oh, by the way, ISO 9660? So yesterday.
Okay. So can we move to 1105, which also passed, and everybody voted yes.
And what was that again? Remind me.
Change band name definition.
Oh, yeah, sure.
I guess what I'm asking, is there any interest in discussing 1105?
For your information, I have another conference call at 10:30.
Okay. So that would conclude the ones that we passed. How about we start on the next set?
The ones that we... Sorry, Ron, I lied. I have a question.
Yeah?
The ones that passed, what happens to them next?
That's a good question. So Chapter 7 is on hold, so nothing's going to happen to that.
No, Chapter 7 is going to the Management Council as is.
Check that. You're right. Back
Chapter 1104 is getting rewrite from Ann, some one way or the other.
Yep.
The question is, the other two that you brought up, are they going to the Management Council, or are they going to be implemented without bothering the Management Council?
Okay. Let's vote. Because I don't know
are
how...
Are the changes to the standards ref or to the data dictionary?
These both are data dictionary changes, yes. I have to find them. I have to pull them.
At least the band name also changes something in the standards reference, I think. I can't remember now.
I didn't research at all to see if there were changes required in the standards reference.
I did do that research.
Did you find any?
And it's written in the SCR, and I can't remember what I wrote, but I did look.
Okay.
Good. Well, as long as I didn't actually screw it up by deleting it, then we're okay.
I have version 2. Why don't I have version 3 sitting here? Let me pull version 1064, version 3.
Yeah, version 3 I have written for documentation changes, no known changes to published documents.
Documentation, no known changes. Yeah.
I must have lost something somewhere because I thought that I had started with the original SCR in its entirety and just added to it.
The SCR just says change the maximum length in the definition, which would be a data dictionary change, from 72 to 223.
Philosophically, I'd like to go back to what Dick said. We don't have really good set guidelines for now. We should be sending things to the Management Council by default until they decide what level of triviality is too trivial for them to consider. So I would suggest that one should go. I'm sort of figuring that the ones that we have in the past not bothered them with are when we change standard values. But other than that, I think most of the stuff ought to go to the Management Council for now.
I have a question that I really hate to ask because I'm half afraid of the answer. But for the 1064 SCR, do I actually need to go and do some serious research to see if this affects documents anywhere?
Seems like that's passed.
It has passed, but there's a question now if there are documents that need to be changed to let it pass.
I wouldn't... think it would be necessary. The actual keyword path name is not that often used.
Okay.
I think this should be part of the impact statement, but
it should.
If something passes and an impact isn't noticed, perhaps the implementers will find it. Otherwise, we just end up with another inconsistency.
Well, the implementers in this just be handed the information that something in the data dictionary needs to change. They wouldn't necessarily have teeth even to go and look and see if that is.
Right.
So the onus is probably on us for that.
Yeah, the working group should do the research, but
yeah.
We live in an imperfect world.
I assume there weren't any because there weren't any mentioned in the version of the SCR that I was working off of, and that may have been a faulty assumption, which is, I'm asking, do I need to go and do this research? I don't think it affects whether or not it passes. I think it affects what we have to do to implement it, and I'm happy to let you know what that is if I find any cases.
I think that's a good idea, actually, Ann.
Okay.
Okay, so 1064 is going to Management Council, yeah.
And Ann's going to do a quick perusal to see if we need to add some sort of impact statement.
Yep.
Before I send it to Management Council.
Yes. When do you want to send it, Ron?
As soon as you're done, I guess.
Okay, can we make that the end of the week? I'm actually out sick at the moment, and I can do it from where I am, but it takes extra time.
Yeah, sure. No worries.
But I got a break, guys. I don't have to shovel snow today. It's been snowing all morning, but my side of the street got the sun yesterday, so it's melting.
Wow.
Sucks to live on the other side of the street.
Okay, 1105 version 2. Should that one go to Management Council?
No, I found the SCR, and I did look up every mention of bands and the standard reference and did not see any that needed to be changed.
Great.
Okay, so... anybody object to not sending it to Management Council?
Yes.
Okay.
I think it should go to the Management Council again. In part, I think it'd be good for us to hand them a bunch of things so they can say this is too trivial for us to look at.
Ooh, yeah, that's a good idea.
Well, I think it would be good to send it there because we're broadening the definition of a band, and I think they might as well know that. Or making TDS more versatile.
That's true as well. And it would be nice if they actually knew that the technical session was getting some work done.
Okay, I'll ask again. Anybody object if I send this to Management Council?
That's a different question.
I know it is. I'm trying.
That's the one that you're not giving. You're doing good here, Ron.
Others would disagree with you, I have to tell you. I am so waiting for Elizabeth to come back. She had her little baby, and I can't tell you, I will bless the day she walks in that door again. So, anyway, back to, does anybody object to sending this to Management Council? Silence. Okay, so it's going to Management Council. So 1103, 1064, and 1105 are now all three going to Management Council. We're waiting on 1104. Oh, check that. 1064, I'm waiting for Ann to do her research, then it's going to Management Council.
There you go.
Wow. This is, okay, cool. Any other, anything on, or are we moving on?
If we're done.
I think, okay. Discuss the node votes on the following SCRs. So I'm on, if you're following my agenda, part number two is do the node votes on the SCRs from the round of e-votes, and these are the ones that didn't pass last time. So the question is, I think what the question is, are we going to propose changes or do they die miserable deaths?
Now we're talking about 1070 and 1071?
Let's start with 1071 version 1. Use of format effectors within attribute assignment statements.
Didn't that die an unnatural death because we thought it was overcome by events? It was no longer a necessary effort?
And I think what the answer is that it is needed because vTool was released as beta and there's a dependency there still for vTool.
You don't modify the standards because of one piece of software that doesn't read them correctly.
Oh, you know what? I take this all back. Check that. Because I actually checked with them and they have... Okay, it dies in... Yeah, my vote is that it dies a miserable death. We don't need it.
Kill it.
Hey.
Okay, cool. Next one, 1083. Increased length of source product ID.
All right, that was mine. So...
Why did we not like that?
Yeah, I can't remember. I was going to ask. Why did we not like that? Something about having to change product ID as well? Was that it?
We actually... We revised the SCR, added all the IDs. I'm going to the blog to see what's on the blog.
Yeah, we did that. And then it was voted down again the second time.
I think some of it was the length. Part of it was the length. 100 was really too long. 80 should probably be better because... That's sort of the canonical.
Oh well, I would accept 80.
Line, right?
80 is okay with me.
If you have to put it in quotes, it has to be 78, and you still turn in line feed, which means 76. But actually, my only objection to the PR, if I remember correctly, is the inclusion of product ID because it is exposed already in external interfaces that we have no control over, like the ABS.
I just don't see how increasing it. Length is really going to impact the international.
Yeah, I think one of the objections was there was no assessment. It wasn't necessarily that it was going to be bad. It was that there was no information.
Well, the definition of product ID, is part of the unique key for a data product within the PDF. And the current definition with a maximum limit of 40 is what was given to the Astronomical Data Service abstract service. That's what they built their system around to accommodate S data search.
Right. My point, Ann, would be that somebody would have needed to contact ADS and say, does this cause a problem? And if they say yes, then we put in, we're going to exclude product ID because it's a problem. But that hasn't been done. All we know is that it may have an effect on ADS.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was what hurt this one. Was that the impact assessment wasn't complete. And partly that was because the original SCR was written to change one thing, and then Todd suggested that since we're changing one of these, we ought to change them all. And I think your comments made several of us, certainly made me nervous about extending product ID in a vacuum without making sure that it would what the impact was.
Yeah, when I asked ESA about it, they were the ones, ESA, the, I'm forgetting the acronym for their archive.
They.
The Rosetta people. They made the comment about, well, how characters long if you recommend that labels characters long? That just seems silly. But other than that, they didn't have any strong objections themselves.
What if we just leave product ID out of the list?
Well, that's what started it.
I mean, that's the one that we object to.
Yes.
And I understand the objections, but I don't really care about product ID. I care about source product ID.
Yeah. Source product ID is what started it. Everything else was thrown in as a while we're at it thing. And none of these others have I ever used or encountered, I don't think, except for product ID, which is very, very important to us.
Ron, have you got the votes? Who else voted no besides Ann and me?
I did.
It was, where'd it go? It was 4-4, I believe. Yeah. Todd, no. Ann, no. Simpson, no. Gordon, no.
Okay.
Semenoff abstained.
Yeah, Todd's not on today, is he?
No, Todd.
Okay, Dick, if they pulled product ID off of this SCR, would you go for it?
I would rather just limit it to source product ID. I'd have to think about the other ones.
That would certainly make it easier. Which goes back to sort of the original version that was submitted, although this has been pushed and shoved a bit.
Yeah, the proposed solution wording is a little mystifying. It says increase the maximum length of all keywords related to the source product ID keyword to 100 characters. It actually no longer suggests that you increase the length of source product ID, and I'm wondering how you determine what keywords are related to it.
Well, I didn't write that revision, so I'm not sure.
Ah, okay.
Did Todd write that?
I wrote that.
Okay. Well, how did you determine which ones were related?
I did a global search on product.
How does that relate them to source product ID?
They all relate to describing a product.
Yeah, but that's a different direction for the relationship.
So where did you read that sentence, Ann? Mine says, the following is a list of all keywords where the maximum length should be increased to 100 characters.
Now, I'm looking at the version 2 that I downloaded just before this meeting. Is there a version 3?
No, I'm looking at version 2. Some question. I just...
Right?
Oh, I see, in the proposed solution.
Yeah, proposed solution.
Gotcha. The proposed solution should have said increase the following keywords to 100 characters.
Okay, so we just have misplaced.
Or increase the maximum length of the above keywords to 100 characters, something more explicit than what it says.
Well, as I remember, Todd's objection was that if you have a long source product ID, that everything being logical and orderly, there must exist somewhere in your system a product ID with that same thing, but that's really not true in this case.
Right. These things sometimes come from other places.
In this case, these are spice kernels.
Yeah.
And, you know, in fact, even if I went back to the CRISM team and said, sorry, you must make these shorter, they would not be able to. They just get these names from somewhere else.
Yeah. I've actually seen a couple of sample files from recent missions. I can't remember which one. In which they were proposing to use things like source product ID to hold the local names of their files in their pipeline system so that they could use it for tracking purposes to produce the final history or for reducing certain...
Yeah, but that, I see no problem with that either.
Yeah, but it does, doesn't... Since their pipeline disk space is not constrained the way the ISO 9650 system constraints are for PDS, there's no particular reason why their product IDs, their source product IDs would necessarily have anything to do with the sort of uppercase product ID of the PDS.
Right. So I would propose we go back to the original and only change source product ID. I guess maybe we should not do that without asking Todd, since he's not. It was his original change. But would everybody else be willing to vote for that?
I'm fine with that.
I would be more. I'd be fine.
Would you be happy with something like 56? I was trying to figure out how to fit this into an 80-character line.
That's getting down close. I remember I asked Boris, maybe Boris is still here, I asked him what the longest one was that he ever saw, and I think it was 52 characters or something.
It says 53 in the SCR. So
okay. Well,
I think 50, if you allow it to be 56, you can put double quotes around it, you can have an equal sign, and you can get the keyword on the same line with a couple of spaces around the equal sign.
Okay.
Yeah, but we can put it in the next line. So if we decide to increase it, I would go with 78 that Ann suggested.
You can put it on the next line as long as you don't approve one of the other SCRs.
Can I ask a really peripheral question here, Susie?
Yes.
There's a keyword in the data dictionary, spice underscore file underscore name.
Yes, there is.
But they're doing an ID as well?
Well, I think, as Ed and I were talking about this offline, I think as I look back to when we first started this, I believe it's possible that other things besides spice kernel name could go into this field.
Yeah, sure.
It just happens that the long ones that kicked the error were the spice kernel name.
Mm-hmm.
Well, just for the record, those ones that are offenders are not going to be archived. So anyone who will hope to use these keyword values to find spice kernels will not do that, will not be able to do that.
Problem. When they make their EDRs, CRISM, they don't know what the archive names of the spice kernels are going to be because they haven't been archived yet. All they know is the name of the kernel they're using right now. And they understand this, but this is what they want to record in their labels.
Okay. But the biggest problem I see was that the fact that it says it's product ID somehow indicates that it may be part of some PDS archive. I would much rather see them put it in the spice file name or description or something like that. But it's probably too late for that now.
Yeah, Boris, I think it's too late.
Yeah, I understand.
I have a data dictionary in front of me, so I don't actually know how source product ID is defined. Does the definition of source product ID imply or state explicitly that it's a product ID?
I don't have it in front of me either.
It's in the SCR. It says the source product ID data element identifies a product used as input to create a new product. The source product ID may be based on a file name.
Yeah, no, I'm looking for the actual quote of the PDSDD.full definition of source product ID.
It is the definition of source product ID.
It is? Okay.
40 characters. And then it says see also product ID.
Yeah, so this doesn't actually apply all that strongly that it has to be a product ID. It could, in fact, just be another file name. So I would interpret this as an informal use of the word, of the term product ID, as opposed to formal use, like in a label.
I think, yeah, you're basically, if I understand, it's really not constrained by PDF rules the way that product ID is, and it's really left for the teams to use in a way that makes sense to them.
Yeah, I agree.
So, Dick, are we just hung up on what the right length should be?
I'm not sure what that question means.
I mean, if you wanted to be 56, I kind of think that's too short, and Boris has proposed 78.
Well, a lot of my software assumes the keyword and the value are on the same line. I'm not going to be happy seeing them otherwise, but I guess that's my problem.
Haven't you got your data preparers trained yet, Dick?
I am the data preparer.
Somebody wrote an SCR to change all label lengths to greater than 80. I don't think anybody would object.
I would. Yeah.
Really?
Absolutely.
To make it greater than 80?
Hello, let's not go in that ditch.
Okay. Anyway.
Let's finish this SCR.
Yeah.
So I'm going to propose that we resubmit this SCR to affect only source product ID, we being me, of course, and that I'm trying to now to pin down what number to suggest for the length. And Dick won't vote for anything longer than 56, is that right?
No, I wouldn't say that, but I would not be happy to see it showing up here that way.
Boris, is there a good number between 56 and 78, or do you want to stick with 78? Because I don't know how long these things get.
64 and a half.
Cool, thank you. 64 is good. That's a power of two. Okay.
Remember, these product IDs don't have to be file names.
That's right.
What's the general data type of source product ID?
Character.
Okay, good.
Is it too late to encourage him to use SPICE file name?
Yes, it is. And as I said, there are other things besides SPICE files that go
into. No, I meant in addition to.
Oh, they have two keywords? Yeah, it's too late for that. They're in production.
Because ultimately what may have to happen is somebody will have to make a table that goes between this source product ID that's only meaningful before the mission happens to the archived SPICE file ID.
No. I think you're missing the point of what this is for.
Okay. I thought it was to tell me as a data user what SPICE files they used when they came up with whatever other answers they've got in the file.
Yeah, but it's really the team's set of pointers. The end user doesn't necessarily need to know that.
Dick, you have to leave in a few minutes. Do you want to jump in on 1070 ODL lines and records?
Wait a minute. What about my SCR?
I think, aren't we done? I thought there was a plan. Sorry.
What number do I... All right, I'm just going to pick a number.
64.
Yes, 64, fine. We picked.
A version 3. You're going to submit a version 3 with line length 64.
And only source product ID.
No. Let's make it 78 because 64 doesn't satisfy Dick's objection. So let's make it as long as possible for 80 character lines. So.
Oh.
Oh, no. Dick's objection was he wanted the keyword space equal sign space... and the value.
Correct. And so if we pick anything longer than 56, let's make it 78.
How about 76? Then you can put double quotes around it and have a carriage return line feed on the same line.
Well, you're right. Okay.
76. Sold.
76. Yeah. Yeah.
For me, 64 and 76 are the same.
Okay. So my only question, Susie, version 3 will have 76, only source product ID, correct?
Yes. Yes.
Great.
Cool.
Okay.
Moving on.
Can we move on to 1070 ODL lines and records? That was a change to the standard, section 12.4.1, where we're saying ODL labels can't cross the record boundary. Oh, and let's see who did what. On 1070, there were five yeses, four noes. The noes were Lyle and Boris and Mitch. So anything to help heal this thing, or does it die?
Why does it die?
Well,
didn't you get five yeses?
Whoops, it passed. Why is it on this list then?
I don't know. The 5-4 wasn't enough of a majority?
Oh, I know, because we did... Oh, I'm so confused. Is this because...
You've still got a problem with the section that's quoted in this SCR being taken out of context in the standards and not actually making the point that they're trying to make.
What does that mean?
The previous, and I put this on the blog, which once again I can't read at you, I'm sorry, but the point of the entire section was talking about computer systems, which probably don't exist anymore, where hard record boundaries, physical record boundaries, are an issue. And this section was concerning writing logical records across physical record boundaries. Well, there aren't any systems like that in common use nowadays, so the issue is completely moot. There's absolutely no reason why you can't write logical lines across logical records. It's not an issue, and there's no, it doesn't invalidate any of the existing labels that imaging is using, and so there's no need to change the standard to make them valid in retrospect, because they're not invalid in retrospect.
I got so lost by that.
Well, you know, I started out working on systems that did have hard record boundaries, and it was an issue, and I did have to worry about this crap, and I'm so grateful that we don't have to anymore. But I recognize a bit of the terminology, and we're talking about, like, VSAM records and things like that, old counted length strings and inter-block gaps and crap like that that got held over from tape, and none of it is relevant to what to the modern computing environment.
Well, back when I was looking at labels, Dick was the perfect example of violating this standard. Because he'll have a data, he'll do an attached label where the data is 39 characters long, and he'll wrap an ODL statement across two records,
mm-hmm.
so that, and pad the thing out so it's 78 characters long.
Right.
Well, that violates this standard. And so what they were suggesting is that we get rid of this because it's just not even in practice being followed.
How does it violate this standard? The physical block size on the machine he was working on, I'll bet you, was at least 512.
No.
And has no issues writing across physical block boundaries.
The record boundary isn't a physical boundary. It's the boundary defined within the keyword fixed length, which defines the record.
Not if you read the entire section of the standards that this line is extracted from. The previous section... talking about physical records on a file system, not logical records in a data file.
12.4.1, lines and records, is that what you're talking about?
I don't know, because once again, I can't look at it while I've got you on the phone.
Bye. Sorry, Ann, but reading this, I don't see anywhere where it's talking, at least in section 12.4.1, about physical record boundaries. It really is discussing lines of ODL. Is everybody gone?
No, just Dick.
Just Dick.
Sorry, I got dropped into Wonderland there for a minute.
Oh, okay.
I hit the wrong button, and it sent me off to that menu it tells you is there if you press pound or something like that.
Oh, yeah.
It's a fascinating menu, but it takes 5 minutes to figure out how to get out of it.
Waveform inspector. Yep.
What Anne is referring to, Ron, is the line in the standards in the SCR that begins, a line of ODL encoded label, right?
Yep.
That's a sub-bullet. It's a bullet for a paragraph that begins, in some computer systems, files are divided into records. Software for writing and reading ODL encoded labels in a record or in record-oriented files should adhere to the following rules.
Exactly. That's exactly what I'm talking about. That's talking about systems with hard record barriers.
That's funny because I interpret that as fixed length when we put record type equals fixed length.
Now, read the first sentence. In some computer systems, files are divided into records.
Exactly. I'm still saying that that is...
If that said, when files are fixed length, fixed record length, right, so you're working off a file type rather than the hard compute, the hardware in the computer itself.
I'm reading that as the record as defined by record type equals fixed length.
Yeah, that's not it. That record type gives you the logical length, gives you the length of a logical record in the file, not a physical record, which probably doesn't exist on the system you're using.
Isn't that the funniest thing, how you can interpret one sentence so completely differently?
Well, remember that this particular sentence was probably written 20 to 25 years ago, and it made a big difference. If you were on a VAX VMS system, you had to worry about physical record boundaries.
No, I'm old. I remember doing that.
Yeah.
It's just reading this sentence. It never, ever occurred to me that it was discussing the physical record boundaries.
Well, remember, this is a section that defines ODL. It has absolutely nothing to do with PDF standards, and that fixed-length record type keyword, that's all part of the PDF standards. It doesn't actually have anything to do with ODL. It's something that PDF encodes in ODL, but it has nothing to do with the definition of ODL itself.
If that sentence wasn't there in that paragraph, how would you interpret what it says?
If that sentence wasn't there in that paragraph would have serious problems because there's no reference to records anywhere else in ODL except for this sort of logical relationship. The problem that comes in here is because it starts off talking about a physical record and then how to deal with that situation.
Okay.
The record is overburdened in this particular section, in this particular chapter, is a problem.
At a minimum, that sentence, somewhere in there should say physical record boundary, not a PDF-defined, an ODL-defined record length. Okay,
so
this one dies?
Well, it passed, but it passed, and you're probably going to have trouble with the management council with it, I think.
Oh.
Right? We haven't even decided what it takes to pass here. It was a 5-4.
Well, even if it passed at a bare minimum, you probably didn't get enough science notes to pass it to make it pass the management council. So.
Yeah. But the real issue is, if we were rewriting this in light of what's just been said, if Anne's interpretation is correct, the correct rewrite would be to delete it.
Yes.
Yeah, because it's just not relevant to anything that we do today.
And in fact, if anything, maybe what we need is a section in there that talks about fixed-length records. And I'm reluctant to start mucking about with how we use ODL ad hoc or piecemeal at this stage.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, in general, I would be very reluctant to make changes to Chapter 12.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we're going to have to do that, but it ought to be done not with one little statement, but by a complete rewrite of Chapter 12, in the context of PDS-4 and IPDS.
Right, that's a PDS-4 issue.
Yeah. And as far as interpreting logical records across, logical lines of files across logical record lengths of files, I have seen it done both ways, and I don't have a problem with it being done either way. It seems to me both adhere to the standards, because there's nothing really specifically said apart from the fact that the label has to end at the end of a logical label. I don't think I've ever come across a statement that specifically says when you're padding the label section out, you must pad out individual logical lines versus the entire logical record.
I guess one of the reasons this paragraph was enforced because in practice people have done that. They have padded out an ODL line so that the line is in fixed-length records.
Mm-hmm. I've seen that done. I've also seen it done where just the sum total of the lines and the label were padded out to an integral number of the record length.
Yeah. I think we just said the same thing.
And typically I don't have a problem with those labels. I mean, I don't like them. They're messy and they annoy me. But they're logically consistent because when I've seen it done in the past, they do tell you they use the keyword label records. So I can count the label records either by physical number of bytes or what's the other keyword, label lines. Anyway, there's keywords in there that will let me figure out where the end of the label is, regardless of how they've chosen to pad the individual lines. So people have been pretty good about being explicit in the way that they use it. It hasn't been haphazard.
Yeah. Okay, so is this one going to Management Council? And Mitch, you're right, it doesn't have enough science node votes.
Well, and...
I said that.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, Lyle said that. I would recommend, I would like to propose that we pull this one, that we reconsider the vote since the vote was too close to call a clean victory, and that we just take this off the charts altogether. That would be my proposal. We just drop this SCR.
So what did... Yeah.
And leave Chapter 12 alone for now. Just leave it reworded the way it is.
So it's withdrawn?
That would be my proposal, my recommendation.
Anybody opposed?
No.
Okay.
Dick voted against it, so that's okay that he's not here, but we still have a quorum.
Yeah. Okay. Okay, so 1070 was withdrawn. 1083, Susie is going to submit version 3 with, as we discussed. 1071 died. So that would take us to no Todd King, which would be 3 on my agenda. Do we want to talk about 1073, which is the archive status keyword SCR, or leave that pleasure for the next meeting, which we need to discuss when that is.
I know that Betty has worked really hard on that, but you don't have PPI, you don't have radio now.
And Dick. Yeah.
I neglected to get a copy of that one copied down because I've got some questions about that as well. I think I agree in general with the principle, but there were details that on my quick look through were a little troubling. I'm annoyed with myself that I didn't save a copy.
Okay. Can people post to the blog in anticipation of us getting to this in the next tech session?
Sure. The number again?
To the blog? Oh, it's
1073.
Yep, V1. Great.
Okay.
When shall we meet again? Please say not next week.
Next week would be good.
Will not be good.
In 2 weeks?
2 weeks should be fine, yeah.
Does that work?
Gets us back. That's back. Last week was a special session because we had a miss. That gets us back on a 2 week schedule, which is going to be really useful because the week after that's Management Council.
Okay.
Susie, how are you doing for next week?
Next week or the week after?
Week
which
after
one?
Next.
21 March.
21st?
Yeah.
Yes.
You guys are back from LPSC by then, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, good. Yes, and LPSC in the middle.
Yeah. I recommend the 21st, Ron.
Gotcha. Thanks.
Beauty.
And so everybody's going to try and get stuff to me at least soon so we can get it all posted in anticipation for the 2 weeks. Great.
Yep.
And you're going to send out a reminder that tells us what things that... What I would do is send out a reminder, say, post your blogs by this time on these topics for the next meeting.
See. Yep, please. Thanks. Yeah.
Yeah. Otherwise, I read them on the day, which is not a good idea.
Yeah.
Okay. Anything else we want to address? Nope. Thanks, everybody.
Oh, thank you.